In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The baptism of our Lord. Your baptism. If you are troubled by your sin, by a guilty conscience, if you are troubled by your spiritual weakness, if you are tempted to believe that God has turned his face against you, know this. In your baptism, he clasps your hand. And he takes you to himself. And he says to you, I am yours. You are mine. I will not let go of you. That you and I are baptized into Christ, who is baptized for us and for our salvation, is the foundation for our faith and is of inestimable comfort. In today's epistle, the Apostle Paul declared, and he's speaking about you and me, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. It is as if the Apostle Paul were saying, God has chosen you, someone the world has no regard for, to be his own, and thereby to shame the wise, the high and mighty, the self-righteous, that no flesh, Paul says, should glory in his presence. What comfort this is. For us as Christians, there is one in whom we glory, and that is Christ Jesus. Baptism is foolishness to human reason, because God, through water, joins sinners to his Son. That's the theology, forgiving them their sin and declaring them righteous for Jesus' sake. Nonsense! Foolishness! How can water do such great things? Certainly not just water, but the Word of God in and with the water does these things. This gift of righteousness is received by faith alone. As Jesus said, whoever believes in him and is baptized into him shall be saved, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. The righteousness of God in Jesus is a gift of God's grace. It is not our accomplishment. Baptism saves, not because it is our work, but because Christ is in the water. And he has joined you to himself in that water, clasping your hand and saying, you are mine. Now, this is foolishness to the world. Know it. It's foolishness to your flesh. But it is the source of eternal comfort. And it is the foundation and ground of strength for our lives as Christians. I love Isaiah's prophecy of Jesus' ministry in the Old Testament for today. He begins by speaking the words of the Father concerning his Son. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, he writes. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. Notice the Trinitarian shape. The Father speaks of his servant, the Son, whom he places his Holy Spirit upon. And then that justice worked for the Gentiles is the righteousness of which Jesus spoke to John in the gospel. Permit me to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. He was anointed with the Holy Spirit at his baptism, and his ministry, according to the prophecy in Isaiah, is one of comfort for the weak in faith, for the spiritually distressed, for those who have come to know and believe by the grace of God that their salvation rests entirely with him. For the troubled and brokenhearted, how does Isaiah put it? concerning the ministry of our Savior, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. The devil wants you to believe that if your faith is weak, if your conscience is troubled, that God stands there to stomp out your faith. That is a lie. In your baptism, your Savior has clasped your hand, and he has said, "You are mine, and I am yours, and I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." So are you a smoking flax? Jesus anointed by the Father with the Holy Spirit to bring forth justice for you, to establish righteousness for you. This work was foreordained before the world was created. And it is the reason that the Word was made flesh and Jesus was born and laid in the manger. It is the reason Jesus was baptized, beginning his ministry as he tells John the Baptist to fulfill all righteousness. How so? By bearing your sin, by going to the cross on your behalf. That's how he does justice. That's how he works righteousness. So the Lord God says to his Son in Isaiah's prophecy, "I, the Lord, have called you, my son, in righteousness, and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people." The Father pledges to hold Jesus' hand, and in your baptism, Jesus pledges to hold your hand. It is an inseparable connection that he wills to make with you in the covenant of your baptism. Of his Son, the Father says in Isaiah's prophecy, "I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house." And that's how we so often feel, as if we are in darkness in the prison house of our own sin. But it is this Savior who aligns himself with your weakness in every way, who shines the light of his glory and righteousness in forgiving your sin upon you. He brings you out of the prison house. So I return to that verse from St. Paul in the epistle. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, that no flesh should glory in his presence. So the world can look at you and say, "Are you kidding me? These people belong to God? These people are the saints of God?" That's exactly right. Foolishness to the world, but not to God who gave his Son for your redemption. Now, in the gospel for today, we can understand John's confusion when Jesus comes to him to be baptized by him. John is calling people to repentance, proclaiming the forgiveness of sins in the name of the one whose way he is preparing. And so he says to Jesus, "You're coming to me? I have need to be baptized by you." And Jesus says, "Permit it to fulfill all righteousness." Oh, it is this blessed transaction, this happy, delightful exchange. In Jesus' baptism, he aligns himself with sinful humanity, with your humanity in all its weaknesses. He enters into the polluted waters of our sinful flesh. He enters the water not because he had sin to be forgiven, but because we have sin to be forgiven and to take that sin upon himself. His baptism means that he is destined to die, to be sacrificed upon the cross as the scapegoat, the sin bearer. As St. Paul would say, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I find it very fascinating. St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4, he says there's only one baptism. Only one. Whether it was John baptizing at the Jordan River, or when your pastor baptized you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or Jesus baptized by John, only one baptism. What is this all about? In holy baptism, we're joined to Christ and he's joined to us. There is really only one baptism. In holy baptism, all sin is imputed to Christ, and what we might call his forgiving righteousness is imputed to you. You see, there's really only one baptism. Jesus' baptism makes your baptism valid because your baptism is joined to Jesus, who is baptized for you. It joins you to his death and to his resurrection that fulfills all righteousness. This is why at Jesus' baptism, the heavens were ripped open. And the Father declared those words of divine approval. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He says the same thing to you in your baptism for Jesus' sake. No wonder John finally got it. In the fourth gospel, John chapter 1, he says after Jesus' baptism, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." If you're sometimes tempted to believe, I gotta make atonement for my sin. I gotta make myself right with God. I gotta make myself acceptable to him. I gotta fulfill all righteousness to be pleasing to God. That's not only a lie, but it's a rejection of Jesus and what he did for you. It is the slippery slope of darkness into which Satan wishes to plunge you. No, there's only one Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and he has clasped your hand, and he says to you, "I will never leave you or forsake you. You are mine and I am yours." The word righteousness is a fascinating one throughout the scriptures, and particularly in the New Testament and in the Gospel of Matthew. It refers to what Christ has done for us. Remember the angst that Luther had, the concept of the righteousness of God? He was hearing it prior, really, to his conversion. He was hearing it as God's demand upon me that I couldn't keep, for which then God damns me. But the righteousness of God is what Christ has done for you in fulfillment of the law. The word righteousness occurs 7 times in Matthew's gospel. The first is in the gospel for today, where Jesus at his baptism says he is to fulfill all righteousness. The 7th occurrence is at the end of the gospel, where Jesus says of John's ministry that he came in the way of righteousness, to call people away from relying upon themselves to relying upon him. That's repentance. The other 5 occurrences are all in the Sermon on the Mount. These references are all connected. From the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." It's like, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Jesus. Again, from the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." To be persecuted for righteousness' sake is to be persecuted for believing in Jesus, who is your righteousness. 10 verses later, "Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Again, it is the righteousness of Christ which is the greater righteousness, the forgiving righteousness, apart from which we have no access to heaven. And then at the end of chapter 6, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." It is as if he were saying, "Seek me first, and all shall be yours." Because in our baptism, he has joined himself to us and we to him, saying, "I am yours and you are mine. I will never leave you." The righteousness of God for which we hunger and thirst. the righteousness of God for which we are persecuted, the righteousness of God which is greater than the scribes and Pharisees, is the righteousness that the world calls foolishness, but for us it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. It is the source of inestimable comfort, for it is the forgiving righteousness of Christ who lays this righteousness upon us in our baptism. Jesus' death and resurrection fills the waters of baptism with divine grace, the forgiving righteousness. It saves because Jesus is its content. And so, every day, you and I are privileged to confess, in the face of the weaknesses of our flesh, Satan's temptations, I am baptized into Christ. He is my righteousness. I am joined to him, and he is joined to me. His death is my death for sin. His resurrection is my life from the dead for all eternity. I am the Father's beloved, because I am in Christ. And so Paul said in today's epistle, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.